Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. Friends, God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Tuesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We just started a brand new series at church, and that church is Island Community. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. You are cordially invited to come and visit us on some Sunday if you're new to the area or if you're looking for a new church. And if you like what you hear here on WGOD, why don't you come by Island Community Church? We meet for Bible study Wednesday nights at 6. And we meet Sunday mornings for Bible study / Sunday school, whatever you want to call it. We get out the word, sit around the kitchen table there, and big table. And we are in the Gospel of John. Wednesday nights, we're in the Gospel of Luke. Sunday mornings this week, we just started the book of James, and that's what you're going to hear today and tomorrow. So, yes, tomorrow night, we'd love to see you for our study in Luke. More on that as tomorrow arrives. But here today, as I said, we're going to get into James. And for more info on this ministry, the website is islandcommunitychurch.net. My statement of faith is on there. It's very important. You'd be surprised how many people have come and visited the church and said that they decided to come because of what they read in our statement of faith, that that was important to them. And I'm just so glad that there's still a bunch of people out there, a bunch of you, that care about the church's statement of faith, that care about what a church believes and preaches and teaches. That's very important. Also, you can download the app for this show. It's WGOD Radio. For the church is Island Community Church FL, FL for Florida. So those are the variety of ways to download the app, to hear the program, get the Word of God in you frequently, as we're going to do right now. Okay, Danny, there we go. Okay. Starting a brand new series here through the book of James here starting this morning. Let's begin with the who's and what's and where's in this little book. There's a lot of it, too, on your handout. Information on there on some background info on this book. This New Testament book of Proverbs, we could call it. This maligned book. So maligned and disliked by some that Martin Luther called it an epistle of straw in his German translation. And he actually had the nerve to place it after the book of Revelation in the German Bible. Now, why would he do something like that? Why would this great saint, whatever you want to call him, reformer, why would he want to put the book of James after the book of Revelation? He did that because James is going to stress the idea that your works matter to God. Your works matter to God. And Martin had just recently been delivered from a whole life of works salvation. He was a Catholic's whole life. He was a Catholic monk. Remember, the Catholic faith is a works-based faith. How much you do will determine where you go when you leave this world. How much you do will determine where you go. Any honest Catholic would tell you that they'll find out once they die whether or not they did enough. And don't tell me I'm crazy, because my name is Esposito and I come from 500 years of Catholicism. My family was Catholic since before Martin Luther was alive.
And I know there's a lot of others in here that the Lord has taken out of and through that stuff of thinking that you could do anything to add to what Jesus did on the cross in order to be saved. Imagine that, finding out once you die whether or not you did enough to get in. Whereas we believe, like the song we sing, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Imagine adding your own works, your putrid works. Oh, that's fierce, Pastor. Not me. Ask God about it. He said all of your righteousness is like a filthy rag in his sight. There's nothing you can add to what the Son of God did on the cross. That's blasphemy. You're going to add to what he did. Imagine that. What do you have to add to the blood? What do you have? All to him I owe. That's right. We believe that today you will be with me in paradise, Jesus said. We strictly believe the word of God and not the word of men. When James said, thus also faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being by itself. Or the King James says, being alone. All alone on a desert island, your faith. When you're doing nothing for the cause, nothing for the kingdom, nothing for Jesus Christ. Some will say, you've got faith and I've got works. Show me your faith apart from your works, James said, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is why Martin had such a hard time with this, because he come out of thinking that he had his work his way, and he said, I can never do it. I can't work my way. And now you run into James that says, I'll show you my faith by what I'm doing for Jesus Christ. Are you able to say that this morning? Are you able to say that? Faith, if it's not accompanied by works, is dead. All right, author. The author of James is disputed, but not by me. It's mostly disputed because the Catholic and Orthodox churches believe Mary was a perpetual virgin. And she had no other children other than Jesus. And James, we know, because the Bible says it so, James was the Lord's half-brother, not his cousin. Another problem is that there's four James spoken of in the New Testament. There's James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John, son of thunder, right? There's James, the son of Alphaeus, Mark 3:18. There's James, the father of Judas. That's the other Judas. Remember, there's more than one Judas in the Bible amongst the 12. And there's also James, the brother of Jesus. Okay, when written? We believe that this letter was written before the Jerusalem Council in 49 AD, which would make James, and I believe this, James is the first letter written in the New Testament. We know James died in 62 AD. He was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple. Isn't that funny? That's where Jesus was too, remember? It said the devil led him up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are God, throw yourself down. So they brought James up there later and they threw him down. Down he went. James had a pretty cool nickname too. You know what his nickname was? His nickname was Camel Knees. Because he had these calluses on his knees. Because he spent his time on his knees praying all the time. Camel Knees. What do you think, Darren? That'd be a good nickname, huh? Have you seen old Camel Knees cut my lawn lately? Who's preaching this week? Oh, Camel Knees. Yeah, we should, shouldn't we? Nice Jewish boy. As for his name, James, is that really his name? No, it's not. James's name is not James. James's name in your Bible might be James. James's name is Iacob, I-A-K-O-B. Now do the math. What do you think that that is? It's Jacob. There's no J's in Greek. There's no J's in Hebrew, Jehovah. There's no J. American, it might be James, but his name was Jacob. Even Jesus' name, Yeshua, or his name was Joshua. In their family, Jesus' name was Joshua, and his brother's name was Jacob. Good Jewish boys. Now, by 44 AD, James seemed to be the leader of the church at Jerusalem. I read here recently that James replaced James, John's brother, as an apostle. Acts chapter 12, Herod killed James. He was the first Christian martyr there. Herod killed John's brother, James, with a sword, locked Peter up in jail. So after that happened, Jesus' half-brother, James, apparently became an apostle and the leader of the church. As for the epistle, James is the one and only wisdom book in the New Testament. Very similar to the book of Proverbs. Okay, let's get started here, verse by verse in this book. Verse 1, I got a smorgasbord here of NIV, King James, and New King James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. All right, now, in the first century, the writer's name comes in the beginning of the letter, not at the end like our letters do. So they always start with the names, starting right here. First word in the letter, Iacobos, Jacob, or James. Servant of God. Servant is the Greek word doulos. Meaning what? Slave. Do you think he was saying he was a slave of his brother? No way. He was saying he's a slave to God. James recognized that his brother was the Son of God. A bondservant or a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes, and that's who we wrote this letter to, the 12 tribes. Remember, this is early, early church. I mean, who else was there other than the 12 tribes here in this early, early time? The Jews scattered abroad. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Ha! Repeat it after me. Count it all joy when you fall. Now, Gene, this is today's memory verse. Count it all joy when you fall. We had a good laugh in Sunday school. Pam was talking about this morning. How can I do these things? Count it all joy, count it all joy, count it all joy. This is what he says. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I love the way the NIV reads. The NIV says, count it pure joy. Can you imagine that? Because the testing of my faith gives me, the Greek word is hupomeno. The testing of my faith is a high octane, it gives me a high octane, Satan stuffing, bring on the enemy. and an overcomer to the uttermost. That's what it does for you. That's why he says, count it all joy when it happens to you. Because when it happens to you, God is working behind the scenes to make you a Superman Christian, able to be like these people you read about in the Bible. How do you think Paul gets up here and says, you know, I'm going to turn this thing off here in a minute. This is irritating me. How do you think this man gets up and says, if God is for me, who can be against me? Or we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves me. How do you think he says all these things? Through enduring the trials that he went through and letting God deliver him out of the trials. James is saying the same thing here. Count it all joy when you fall into, or consider it pure joy when you fall into various trials. Verse 3 tells us that the trouble that happens to us has a purpose. Knowing that the testing of your, or the trying, or the testing of your faith works patience or endurance. What can we take from this? Number one, God is responsible for what happens to us. God is responsible for what happens to us. Otherwise, James wouldn't say, count it all joy when it happens. Everything that happens to you must get filtered through the permissive hand of God. Paul wrote this, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In another place, Paul says, for everything, give thanks. Can you imagine that? Paul would not say that if God didn't allow the things that were happening to you. Why give thanks to something if Satan is the one that's giving it to you? He wouldn't say that. God is large and in charge. He is the one responsible. Everything has got to go through him that comes to you. And the writers of the New Testament tell you to count it all joy when it happens to you. Because God is going to take that and he's going to do an awesome work in your life. Through what's happened. Through you trusting in him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says. And he will exalt you in due time. What else can we take from this? Number two, all things work together for good to those who love God. You see, church, you are being tested today. And your faith is being tested so that you will be able to cross the finish line in this evil world out here. Always remembering that God is in control. And all things work together for good to those that love God. Your faith is being tested today as you're forced with making the decision, who are you going to trust, God or the government today? Your faith is being tested. Who do you trust? Do you trust the government? Do you trust God? Hallelujah. See, this is a dry run now for you when the cost is nothing. It costs you nothing if you guess wrong. You just change and make it right. While it's still today. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Can you see that, Gene? In all your ways, Lord, I don't understand why this happened. You tell me to count it all joy when it happens. I don't understand it, but I trust you that you're going to have something awesome come as a result of this. And I've heard, I've read that when broken bones healed are stronger than they ever were to begin with. He might not cause it, but he'll do good things through it. He doesn't cause the cancer, but he'll do a great work through it. And it'll make you a super Christian and strong at the weakest places in your life. Because God wants you to cross the finish line in faith. Friends, we're living in dangerous times. Paul says at the end time, perilous times will come. And we're there right now. Number three, the text doesn't say count it all joy if you fall into various trials. It says count it all joy when you fall. Sorry, there ain't no other way around that. It's going to happen to you at some time in your life. I've heard Joe Stoll say you're either on your way into a storm or you just came out of a storm. You're in either place. Count on it. Now, perhaps you say, isn't it written somewhere that God does not tempt us? Correct. That's what the Word of God says. James will make it clear here that God never takes the initiative in tempting men and women. God will never tempt you to do anything. That's a mistranslation in your Bible. God does not tempt you. The nature of God cannot tempt people to do evil. He cannot and he will not. The Bible teaches the distinction that while God allows men to be tested, he cannot by his very nature test men with an evil intent. Clearly, when men and women are tempted to do evil, it's the consequences of yielding to Satan's enticements because of their own fallen sin natures. Also, this Greek word here for temptation is the Greek word perasmos. It means a trial, or it means to be put to the test. It doesn't mean to tempt you. God doesn't tempt you to sin. But God will test you many times. The New King James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, followed by the reason why, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or develops. And now here in verse 3, you've got a different word for testing. This word here, dokimos, it means to be approved or to put the fire to purify by fire is what this other word means. I love the way the NIV reads here. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. I love that word, develops. Kind of like a negative in God's dark room. And with a negative, you got to remember never to turn the light on, or else you'll ruin the negative. And so it is here. Do you feel like you're in God's dark room right now? Perhaps you have a friend or a family member that's in God's dark room. Let me warn you, not to be an amateur providence. Don't you dare turn the light on in God's dark room. Don't you dare interfere in someone else's struggle and turn the light on, thinking you're doing them some kind of favor by helping them out of their cocoon that they're in. God is at work. Are you going to meddle in someone else's life when he who has begun a good work in them was well on his way to complete it until you came and took their crisis away from them? Don't interfere in someone else's life. Don't interfere. It's not just he who has begun a good work in you. It's he who has begun a good work in them too, not just you. Now, to go a little further here in this chapter 1, you know, there's a difference between helping someone who serves the Lord, who's maybe their car broke down and is dead, and you're going to go and you're going to help that person and buy them another car, and someone else who is in jail, and God's trying to do a work in them, and you're going to go and you're going to bail them out when they need to hit rock bottom so God can do a good work in them. There, you got to have the gift of discernment to know who to help and give every last bloody cent that you have, and who not to lift a finger to do. Leave them alone. Let God deal with them. You don't help them. You interfere in their life by helping them. And there's others, man, we need to roll out the red carpet to. Jesus said, go sell it all and give it away. And others, let God have his way with them. But if you keep interfering in their life, God's never going to be able to work. All right, let's go a little further here in this chapter. Boy, it's good to be back. Let's start this sermon this morning, huh? One thumbs up. My brethren, let's make sure I'm not forgetting anything here. Count it all joy when ye, now I'm in the King James, when ye fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith develops endurance. But let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and entire or complete, not lacking or not wanting anything.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Of peace, I love your name. Savior, healer, just and true are you.